Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I've done a couple of videos recently talking about shoplifters and also stores. They ask to see your receipt before you leave the building. And it's amazing the reaction I get on those videos. I don't know why, but the showing of a receipt as you walk out the door of a store is apparently the worst thing that could happen to you in a free world. So I don't know. I really never would have imagined that was the reaction I was going to get to those videos. But one of the funny things is that in the comment sections below those videos, and also just talking about this to other people, the topic of shoplifting has come up over and over and over again. And it's kind of funny because I realize I've actually got a whole bunch of stories about this. And I gather that everyone else does too, you know. And somebody actually mentioned one that triggered a memory of something that always struck me as one of those things that just like I saw it happen with my own eyes and I just couldn't believe it. And yet it happened. I saw it with my own eyes. So I was going up north in Michigan. Going up north generally involves going up I-75. And it depends if you want to go to Traverse City, you cut off at one point. If you want to go to the Mackinac Bridge, you just keep going straight till you get to the bridge. And there's a couple different places along the way. West Branch is one of them where you can get off the freeway and there's every single possible fast food restaurant right there. Name one, it's there. And I pulled into a Burger King and went inside. And, you know, the place is a zoo. Just you know, it was probably a holiday weekend. And so it's just, you know, madness. And so I'm standing in line. And this is at the moment in time when they had transitioned over. When you bought food, they would give you the food and they'd give you your own cup and say, you know, go fill the cup yourself. And now, it's an interesting thing they did when restaurants started doing that, because they let you know that if you are on the premises, you can refill that cup. And so in essence, you can drink as much as you want out of that one cup. And the cost to them is so little that it's better for them to do that than to waste the time having the people behind the counter do it and hand you a single cup that you can't refill. And so it's one of those things that you realize, you go, wait, the most expensive thing in this transaction is the cup, you know, and that's probably true. You know, the what's going in the cup is not that expensive, but the cup itself. And so when they first introduced that, I remember at the time going, wait, now it's like self-serve at a gas station. I'm pumping my own gas. I'm pumping my own Diet Coke. So I'm in line and a woman in front of me with a whole herd of kids is handed a stack of cups. And she walks over to the soda dispenser and fills up all the cups. And then I realized she's carrying one of those igloo coolers, like the thing that they dump over coaches head at the end of a football game. Not quite that big, but close, because it would fit underneath the dispenser. After she filled up all the cups and gave them to her little herd of kids, the kids go off. She sticks it under there and just pumps like another gallon and a half or 2 gallons out into that igloo cooler. Apparently, she thought that once you bought some soft drinks at the Burger King, you were allowed to just go over there and just take what you wanted from that other machine. I'm sitting there looking at the cup. That can't be what they want you to do. But nobody stopped her. And, you know, it's one of those things where you wonder, like, if they had seen her, would they have stopped her? Because some manager's probably thinking, like, well, instead of getting 3 cents worth of syrup, she got 5 cents worth. You know, I don't know. But that to me was always the one where I'm like, I wonder if she thinks that's wrong, or if she's just doing that because she knows she can get away with it. There's a grocery store that I know of that I used to frequent quite a bit. And it was a higher-end grocery store. They had a lot of nice stuff there. The place is clean. Things cost a little bit more, but, you know, it was a nicer grocery store. And there was a produce section that had grapes in it. And I went back there one day. And the funny thing is that oftentimes, if you are in, there's one in particular that was in a neighborhood that had a lot of people in it who were of the demographic above me age-wise. It's my nice way of saying older people. And they would often be over there checking the grapes. They would see a bunch of grapes and they wonder, are those grapes any good? And they take one and taste it. Not quite. They take one of these grapes. Not quite. Then they reach back here and they pick up another batch and they take one. Not right. And you'd see them doing this. And I'm sure if you ask them, are you going to pay for those grapes? They go, no, no, I'm just checking to see if they're good or not, because if they're not good, I'm not going to buy them. So one day I went back there, but that's not what was happening. I go back there and there's no grapes. No grapes. So I see a guy who's walking around. And he looks like he could be the produce manager, if there is such a role. And I say, excuse me, sir, there's no grapes. I go, are there grapes or are you guys out? He goes, oh, no, I'm sorry. Hold on. And he runs in the back and he gets some grapes. He brings them back out. And he goes, here you go. Brand new, fresh off the truck grapes, because they come on the truck. That's where the grapes come from. And I made the joke and I said, at least these haven't been picked over by people who are testing the grapes. And he goes, oh, and he makes the sound that only Marvin could make in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Just, and I go, why? And he goes, the grapes aren't the problem. I go, what is the problem? And he goes, the olives. And he points, and they have this little cart. And the cart, it's about the size maybe of oh, shoot. It's about the size of the shelf behind me here, but it's twice as deep, maybe three times as deep. And it's got little, I don't want to call them, little containers that have different kinds of olives in them. And you can go up, and it's got a sneeze guard over it, like it's a salad station. And you go up to it, and you can pick up a thing, and you can get some grapes and put them in a little container and take them and buy these, or grapes, olives, and you can buy these olives that come out of these little trays. And the guy goes, almost every day, he goes, I see somebody walk over there, scoop out an olive, eat it, take the pit out, and put the pit back in the tray they just got the olives out of. And he goes, and the second they do that, we got to dump out the whole thing and put out a whole new thing. I go, how often? He goes, about once a day. And he goes, and those are just the ones we see. Now, I'm not a big olive eater, so it didn't really affect me. But I remember thinking, like, oh my God, that's stuff people put up with. I actually had a friend who was this is not shoplifting, but it's a funny story. She worked at a clothing store at a mall, 12 Oaks Mall, for those of you in Michigan. And she used to tell me crazy stories about things that happened in her store. And she said one day she walked by the dressing rooms where there's a mother and her little boy, and the mother was trying on things in the dressing room. And as she walked by, she saw the little boy with his pants down facing the corner of the dressing room just taking a whiz. And the mom was standing there kind of like, oh, yeah, when you're done, pull your pants up and we'll go. You know, so I mean, crazy things happen when you invite the public into your place of business. But we'll get back to shoplifting. So somebody had mentioned seeing people eating in the aisles at the store. You know, you see somebody pushing a big shopping cart full of stuff, and they're just eating something out of the bag or the, you know, box or whatever it is. And you wonder, do they really take the wrapper up and pay for it? I mean, I know some people do, but I'm sure there's some people who go, you know, something. Who's going to miss that? You know, but the funny thing is that I had quite a few people comment in response to the shrinkage stories and say, Steve, what's stupid about them asking for a receipt at the door is that most of the shrinkage comes from employees. In other words, most of the stuff that gets stolen is stolen by employees. And I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't do any research on it, but I don't know if anybody else has either. I'm sure that that's probably true to an extent, that a lot of stuff is stolen by the employees. But that doesn't give you a license to steal. However, the idea of the employees stealing reminded me of the story. I mentioned years ago, I worked at a gas station. I drove a tow truck. And there was a brief period of time where I actually worked as the cashier at a gas station that was one of the first ones to go self-serve on Woodward Avenue. And this is about 1980. So, you know, there was a changeover where some places had gone full self-serve and some places still had mini serve or whatever. They come up, pump your gas. But anyways, and one day I came into work and the station was open 24 hours a day. So I came into work and there was something going on. I mean, there was police cars. The manager was there, all kinds of crazy stuff. So I go in and I punch in and I just kind of trying to step out of, you know, stay out of the way. And then finally, after everything clears up, the manager comes out and he goes, yeah, he goes, we had a problem. And I go, what's that? And he I forgot the person's name. I wouldn't say it anyways. But there was a woman who worked a shift usually right before me on that particular day of the week. And he goes, well, Here's the deal. She was running a scam. And back then, the gas pumps didn't have the card readers. And so if you wanted to fill your tank up, you would actually walk up to the window and say, I'd like to fill it up on number 5. And you'd slide the card through the window, and I would take your card, put it next to the thing, and I'd authorize pump 5 to start pumping. And then when you were done, I'd make a note of how much you pumped. I'd clunk, clunk with the card thinger. I'm sure that's what it's called, a card thinger. A card clunker, clunk, clunk. And then I would take that thing, and I'd have you sign it, and I'd give you your card back in your seat, and you'd go on your merry little way. And of course, you see the problem is that I'm in possession of your credit card for 10 minutes while you're pumping your gas. Now, I never did anything about that, but the woman who worked before me apparently realized, wait a second, I've got someone's credit card for 20, or, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes while they're doing something else. And so what she would do is she would take their credit card and run it through twice. And then what she'd do, she'd have you sign one of the receipts. She'd give you back your card. She'd then look at your receipt, and then she'd do her best to forge your signature on the other one. And she'd run the second one through for, say, $20. And then she'd put both of those in the drawer, and she'd pull out a $20 bill and put that in her pocket. And she was apparently doing this for a while before she got caught. And one day, some smart guy out there looked at his credit card statement and goes, wait a second, I didn't buy gas twice in the same day from the same gas station? And so he called his credit card company, and his credit card company, or maybe it was him, but somebody called the police. And the police contacted the station manager and said, can you take a look to see if possibly this isn't an isolated incident? And the way, of course, you do that is you go back and look at credit card numbers to see how many got run through twice in the same day, because the woman wasn't smart enough to separate them by days. No one said thieves are smart. So what happened was they just looked through, and sure enough, there's one that went through twice, went through twice, went through twice, went through twice. So they actually let her finish a shift as if nothing was happening. And then they came in, and I don't know if they had search warrants or not. I don't know. But all I know is the station manager told me, he goes, she got fired. She got arrested. And in her car, they found a big wad of cash. I don't know how much, but he described it as a wad. And he said, and several cartons of cigarettes. And so apparently one of the things she was also doing was taking the extra money and removing cigarettes by the carton from the back room and then taking them off as if they'd been purchased with the money that she'd gotten from the credit cards that she'd stolen from the customers. Crazy, crazy case. And then the other thing I have to talk about, and this is just one of those things that popped in my head, but it's a scam. I'm fascinated by scams, but they also appall me. I mean, I don't like the fact that they happen, but I find them fascinating to look at. And the number of people I know who have heard of this scam surprises me, because it's happened to me twice where someone has tried to scam me. And I was driving along Telegraph Road up near Bloomfield Hills one afternoon, and there's a couple guys in a van next to me frantically trying to get my attention. So I think maybe I got a flat tire, maybe something's hanging off my rear bumper, maybe I ran over somebody back there, didn't notice it. And so at the next light, I roll my window down, and the guy goes, hey, he goes, dude, do you like good stereo equipment? And I go, I don't know why. And he goes, we deliver expensive stereos for a store, and they accidentally put 2 extra speakers in our order that the customer didn't pay for. So he goes, they're like $900 speakers, but if you want them, we'll give them to you for $100 cash right now. And I look at the guy, I go, dude, get lost. And I just drove off, because it's a scam. But the thing is, I actually had that happen to me 2 different occasions. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and I go, that's the dumbest scam ever. And he goes, and I go, what? He goes, when I was in college, a friend of mine and I would do that. I go, you're kidding me. And he goes, no. He goes, we'd go someplace and buy, just because the funny thing about stereo speakers in the old days, you could buy stereo speakers like this tall, this wide, this deep for like $20. It's just a big old box of like fiberboard and a cheap speaker put into it with cloth over it. And it's made in Taiwan by slave labor. And half of the materials are like recycled animal parts. Okay. And so the idea that something is big and heavy doesn't make it good or expensive. Now, here's the thing. There are speakers back then that you could buy that costs, you know, thousands of dollars and have like ceramic parts and stuff. But what they would do is they would literally just go someplace and buy four or five pairs of the cheapest, biggest speakers they could find. And then drive around all day long, up and down Telegraph, up and down Woodward, whatever. And they'd tell people, look, they're $900 speakers, but because they're not, you know, they're not in the inventory, we can sell them to you for $100. And of course, people who buy them, this is before the internet, of course, people who buy them, unless they go look up that brand in a catalog to find out what they're actually worth, would never know they'd been ripped off. And they'd think, hey, I ripped somebody else off. Which is, by the way, the ultimate scam. The ultimate scam is when you get the person who is being ripped off, you get them thinking that they're in on ripping somebody else off. So the funny part is, I think one of my brothers told me, he goes, by the way, if anybody ever pulls up alongside you and offers to sell you stuff that, you know, isn't in inventory, but you can get it cheap, just keep driving. And I've seen stories in the newspaper about people who've done things like, you know, they've bought a big television set. It turns out it was made in, you know, some island nation that doesn't make electronics. Or they get a box that's heavy, they get it home and open it up and it's filled with like phone books or something. I should probably do a video on what phone books are, but that's another day. So that's the speaker scam. But like I said, I had two different occasions where it happened where someone pitched that to me. Everybody I ask about, oh yeah, I remember that. It's a common scam. Now, this is in southeastern Michigan. This is in the Detroit area. I suspect it had to be nationwide because it's a pretty good scam if you think about it. I mean, it's not good morally, but you can see why people would fall for it. So that's the shoplifting and scam stories I got for you. If you've got any funny ones, put them below. And if you're in another part of the country and you encountered the, hey, do you want to buy some extra stuff we got in our van that's not in the inventory? Put that below too because I'm curious to know if that was in other parts of the country. Questions or comments? As always, below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.